time to take a listen to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you by Island Design every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. Last Saturday, Sharon stepped in and she talked to Rian Atterberg from One Waiheke, Hema Jenkin, who talked about playback theatre, Steve the Butcher. But first she talked to Isadora, one of the organisers of a Brazilian party coming up on Waiheke.
Well, it sounds like an amazing party.
Oh, we hope so.
So how did you come to organise that, Isadora?
I was actually one of those coincidences that, it's not coincidence. I just met Giovanni, the chef, and he was sort of needed for a hand with someone with a bit of experience that could organise parties and stuff. In the end of the story, it was 10 days to promote this party, so we just got together and we're trying to make some noise, and obviously we are doing this. This party is it's at the beginning of an interesting project that we want to do in this island. It's the best time of the year to warm up, that's for sure. And with Brazilian music, I think couldn't be better. This band, it is a samba band. However, we're going to track down from Auckland a DJ, Bruno Baron. And he's awesome. I mean, he's going to be filling the other styles of music with bossa nova and a little bit of electronic too. So it's going to be full of varieties, that's for sure.
Wow. Well, it seems to be an incredibly organized party. You've got lots of sponsorship support.
We do have our sponsorship. And I'd like to thank, first of all, to Waiheke Radio for that, to give us this space and this opportunity to make everyone knows about it. We do have the Stein Lager beer and Pukeko Signs and Graphics, Kendo Factory, Chico Japanese Restaurant, Liquorland Onetangin, and of course The Rock. So that's a good partnership, actually, and we try to make it solid for the future parties, and just make everyone knows who in the island are supporting parties like that and initiatives like that, that is for the locals and for, you know, visitors also.
Right, lovely. So tell us again, how much is it to get in?
The tickets are available right now at The Rock. It's $35. It's including the dinner. It's going to be an early dinner. Feijoada is the name of the dish. It's very traditional and yum. If you never tried, that's appealing for that. Anyway, cheap beers at the place is $4.50. Brazilian cocktails and the live band and a DJ. So that's all for $35. It's going to start at 2 p.m. It's a long day. It's going to be fun. Well, the party is going to be at The Rock. So if the people who are interested in, say, the rugby, for example, that's a nice starting of the day. I know about the reports. I know about the rain and the wind. And please, guys, don't be shy. Don't be too cozy indoors, because you've got two options, actually, to be feeling miserable at home or just go out and do something different. Yeah, that's the first one, but that's the Brazilian one. The next one, who knows what we're going to be, you know, bringing from Auckland or bringing from the island. But that's a good prize for different stuff, live music with a band, DJ, and food.
Lovely. Now, have you got some Brazilian music to play now?
I do.
Have a look at what we can expect on the night.
Okay, I'm going to put that one in here.
Are you playing some samba?
That's Zuko. It's a project, Brazilian project. Few gringos playing, though, but she's Brazilian. She's from Rio, and she's lovely.
Zuko 103.
You mean everything to me. I just have to get that.
Turn up your radio. Yeah.
É minha roupinha bem esperto. Daqueles que não dá pra se afastar. Se vende futebol é coisa certa. Com certas coisas não dá pra enrolar. Aí ele topa tudo a toda hora. E tem a família de ser bom rapaz. Pra ele todo mundo vem primeiro. E eu sou a única que fica atrás. I wanna see your face. I wanna see you coming my way. If you don't mind, I wanna see you smiling. So keep your troubles out of my way. I wanna see your face. Close my eyes. And if you ever take the time to be my man, I will show you. You mean everything to me. Get yourself together. A gente gosta muito desse medo, pois eu quero mesmo te tirar o chapéu. For you to be my man, I give you all the best that I can. If you don't mind, I think it's time to change. I tell you once and never again. I wanna see your face, close my eyes. And if you ever take the time to be my man, I will show you, you mean everything to me. Get yourself together. Get yourself together. Ooh, get yourself together.
Come on now, you need to step it up something. I put in the work and you treat me like I'm nothing. I might as well be alone. So many nights I'm at home on the phone with my girl talking about you. Are your ears ringing or am I singing in vain? You drain the life out of my last vein. Decide here is now or never. I'm about to hop a plane and say goodbye forever. Be the ex-girlfriend that you wish to never escape, never replace. Go to sleep seeing my face. That's why these words ain't really true. I'm just frustrated with you, aggravated, never hate. The day that you want me for real, I'll be waiting. You could be my sun and I could be your earth. Together making babies till it hurts.
Get yourself together. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, what a
So can you tell us a bit about Zuko? They're very popular in Brazil?
Well, they're very popular out of Brazil, actually. But yeah, in Brazil also, I like to say they're a little bit of a planetarian mix type of band. They're a 10-year-old band. The vocal, as you already noticed, she is Brazilian. She's Lilian Vieira. We also have this band also from German, Stefan Schmidt. In the Dutch, Stefan Kruger. So that's why the mix, the planetarian one, is... it's a project. Zuko is the name of this project in Turnout that is a band now, well, for the last 10 years. And something similar like those Solar Rosa type of things, you know what I mean? Is there is a DJ and they just invite musicians from everywhere and just make something cool. So starts like that in Turnout in a band.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
The first tune was a bit more electronic stuff. In the last one, I can say there's a classic bossa nova, and we do have that in the party.
Oh, it's one lovely.
Of my favorite type of yeah, it's good, eh?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Chilled and classy. So yeah.
Okay, well, I just love all that kind of international fusion stuff. Mm. It's really nice, you know, when people sing in different languages and, yeah, no, great. And so you can find that on the web, can't you? You can find more of their stuff on the web?
Yes, you can find that in the web. You can find a Zuko CD, actually, in Auckland, in, I don't know the name of the shop, but there is a CD shop in in some shop in
Queen Street.
Queen Street.
Oh, what's that?
The arcade shop.
Ah, Marbex.
Yes, exactly. And you can find that also. I got this music from a French person, from a French guy in. That's the beauty of the exchange in cultures.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Good. So how did you come to be in New Zealand?
Well, my story in New Zealand started over 3 years ago. Yeah. I just stopped in Auckland for hours and I went straight to Queenstown. And I stayed there for my last 2.5 years. Great. Cold as. Great. It was fantastic.
So what were you doing in Queenstown?
A little bit of everything. I worked there as a house painter. And my last job there was a tour guide. I was working for Bungie, and I was trying to push people out of the bridge.
Is it hard to get them to jump sometimes?
Well, if you're already there, big chances for you to do it. Let's take from these as a start, you know. But it's definitely a therapy and a challenging for everyone. And it's cool. Well, the line pretty much was, come on, guys, let's face your fears. Just broke your limits and do it. You can't do these in everywhere. Here's the safest way that you actually can feel that you can fly.
Right. And then you if know, they're not going, you just press the button.
Come on, you chicken. No, well, you don't have to. It's just a moment that you can see where is your limit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if you can go beyond, that's the adrenaline and that's the... What actually Bungie is all about, you know?
Lovely. So you've also worked as a music promoter, is that right?
Oh, yeah, that was back in Brazil. I was promoting a band. I was managing a band that is the most difficult thing is trying to put a tag in a tempo in the type of music that Scumble is the name of the band was doing. But a little bit of everything, a mix of popular Brazilian music, bossa nova, samba, and rock and roll. And was fantastic. The type of music alternative, so you can see how difficult it is to put in the market. So we're just going through the alternative ways of media, similar to Waiheke Radio, you know what I mean? Alternative.
So it was a lot of digital production? And putting stuff out over the internet?
Over the internet, blogs, small papers, you know, community papers and radio, lots of radio, TV shows, yep, for local TV broadcasts, but not the biggest ones. We had a good production, good evidence in the media when they won a very important prize called Trofeo Caymmi on 2006 was 8 prizes, including best songs, best performance. I'm sorry, the coffee is not making effect yet. anyway, it's just a way. It's just a confirmation that we're in the right path. In the
so
DM,
that band still exists.
The band they're doing a personal project. The musicians, and once in a while they get together, but not as much as before. But yeah, it was fun. That was my first experience in doing something like that. A part of their video clips from musician friends. And yeah, the music environment is appealing for me.
Oh, lovely. Well, we've got another track coming up now. What is this?
Okay, let's see what I'm going to put in here. I'm going to put Still Zuko for You. And that's one of my favorite songs from this album. Maracatu Atomico.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
mostrar o meu apego.
Okay, so that was a bit more Zuko for us. And, yeah, sorry for the mumbling before. That was me forgetting to turn the speaker mics off. So, anyway, good. And, oh, yeah, and the coughing was my son, who was coughing and whispering in my ear as we were on radio. Anyway, it's all good. So that was a bit more Zuko for you. And, yeah, so let's just talk a bit more about the Brazilians. Are there a lot of Brazilians in New Zealand?
There's a lot of Brazilians in New Zealand. There is a lot of Brazilians in Queenstown, a lot of Brazilians in Auckland, everywhere. We like Chinese, anyway.
So why are they all coming to New Zealand?
Well, Brazilian is huge, and I'm pretty sure there is different reasons for the Brazilians to stay here. But in majority, they come for study, stay for a year and learn English in a cheaper way. Why cheap? Because it's easy to get a work visa. So they stick around and work with, doesn't matter what, and have a great time. It is a beautiful country, as everyone knows already. And so, yeah, they just have fun working, doesn't matter with what, and learn English, go back home and carry on with studying, uni and stuff. And there is the travelers that, for some reason, come down to New Zealand, just fell in love with the place. That was my case. And try to go a little bit beyond of just having any type of work and actually do some work in the area and the stuff that we like and live here and apply for residency, blah, blah, blah. And that's pretty much the...
Lovely.
Intentions.
So, last plug for the party then. So, it's next week, next Saturday.
Next Saturday, once more, I want to... Well, the place will be the Rock Garden. So, be outside, however, covered. We've got heaters. We've got everything for any type of weather. It's the best way that you can spend your Saturday to warm up for rugby if you're a rugby lover. Or if you're not, just stay around in Samba with us. I will be there and I will be teaching Samba for a few ladies. They already asked me last night. So don't you worry.
Samba's a really hard dance. I've tried to Samba before.
Oh, well,
it seems quite hard.
It is hard, but it's possible, you know. It's possible, especially if you want it, if you like it. It's easy because it's a beat, sort of beat type of music. So you just have, if you got the rhythm, you don't have to do everything that those incredible dancers does. But you can move in the rhythm and you can do nicely, yeah. Yeah,
so what do you reckon? Are Brazilians the best dancers in the world?
Yes.
Okay, well, just to get us in the mood then, we've got a bit of samba coming up for you.
Okay, that's one of the most famous samba musics in Brazil. That's from Rio, and that's for you right now.
Vai virar carnaval. Carnaval, great.
Já é carnaval no monobloco. A minha alegria atravessou o mar e ancorou na passarela. Fez um desembarque fascinante, o maior show da terra. Será que eu serei o dono dessa festa?
Diga as meu, se a cabeça vem mais feliz.
Okay, well, you've been talking to Isadora Sampaio, and she's come in to talk about the Brazilian party next week. And you're also going to be doing a special, a Sunday evening special on Brazilian music one of these days?
Yeah. Well, in the close future, yeah, I'll be trying to check out a few new tunes, old school tunes, but Brazilian and Latin tunes for the Sundays, yeah.
Lovely.
Looking forward for that.
Great, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yep, here it comes.
Valeu pela presença da galera. Assim começa o negócio.
Eu estou apaixonado. Deixa eu ser seu namorado. Quero ficar do teu lado pra ter seu abraço, seu beijo pra mim. O teu olhar não me engana. Eu sei que você me ama. Teu coração diz que você me quer, mas o medo não deixa você se entregar.
I've got Reen here, who's from the ACT Logic, actually Action Logistics, for the Waiheke Does It Better. So as you know, that's the group that's formed to combat what's happening around our waste and the dissolving of CleanStream. Hi, Reen. How are you doing?
Kia ora. Good morning.
So it's a little bit of a sad week, given the fact that the transition agency has in fact come out in favour of Auckland City's decision to award the contract to TPI.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it is a pity. It's a bit like another battle lost. But then again, you know, I keep on saying, and it's true, the war isn't over yet. Like, I hated the word war because we are peaceful and we're non-violent. But it will continue. Like lots of people asking about what can we do. So one of the many things one can do is the main thing is really to that we monitor, and we will be getting something out in the local papers, a monitoring sheet for people to follow up, and basically if you see anything which is unusual, what's like what they are supposed to be doing, like basically follow up from CleanStream, but already, like, there is no mulch. Like, people can make complaints, and there's some conflicting ideas about it, from where to make your complaints to. Some people have been sending photos and complaints to the Auckland City Development Committee. We had a big gripe with, but no, send it direct, contact phone, the Auckland City front desk, the main telephone number.
379-2020.
Good news, Sharon. I complain badly. Yeah, and file your complaint. Lock it. Ask them to lock it, and so you then will get a letter or something from them that it is locked, and they will have to have to take it up with TPI. TPI will have to address the issue and have to report back to Auckland, and you should get a reply back from Auckland City then eventually.
So what kind of complaints are we talking about? Because I think there's a fine line between complaining about things that are genuine issues and just being irritating and being written off as, oh God, another Waiheke lunatic that doesn't like the decision that's been made and is just going to complain, and we can just write off that complaint because it just doesn't make any sense anyway. So what kind of complaints are we talking about that are legitimate complaints?
As I said before, you know, one of the things is the mulch. You know, the mulch is taken off Ireland. Like, for a community group or people who are involved with community groups, they can query that decision that is taken off the island and say, hey, where is our free mulch for our community projects? Other things are like the trucks are driving around. They're quite big trucks. They got stuck. They destroy features, road features. They delay people in their cars. I've heard reports back from people missing ferries because of they're stuck behind the big trucks.
Yeah,
so that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I hear there was a whole convoy of trucks going along Ocean View Road. Just like three trucks going along the road and traveling in convoy, and it was a real pain for the cars that were behind it trying to get to the ferry.
Yeah, I've heard that also from people on Trickhill Road and in Rocky Bay. So it's not just a one-off experience, but if that happens to you on a Monday or a Tuesday, make sure you give Auckland City a call. I'm sure Sharon can, you know, give you the number again at one stage. And jot out the number, or just look it up in the phone book, Auckland City, and just phone the front desk and lock it. It's very, very important, because all those call cut locks, and the more they hear from us, from, hey, certain things like, you know, the trucks, or anything different with your rubbish collection, or anything different, like if you notice you're at the I don't call it the recycling center anymore, I just call it now a transfer station or a tip, is unusual, and what is not there, like the shop or anything, you can mention it. And file a complaint. And the more people do it, it's no good if one person does lay 10 complaints. Yeah, it helps a little bit, but they'll say, oh, it's the same all over. But if more people do that, and a wide variety of people, they have to lock it. They have to respond. They have to act on it. And the more TPI got their own criteria within their own company, if they get too many complaints about Waiheke at head office, then they may just pull the rug on that, or at least they will put the foot down on Waiheke TPI and say, hey, you guys better act faster and not wait for 6 months to do a big transfer and move in the wheelie bins or whatever they're planning.
So I think the other thing is my recyclables. I've been told by someone, and I think Sue Connor said, that I should be taking my recyclables down to the transfer station, because if I take them down myself, they have promised to actually recycle them. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's important. Like, don't leave them by the roadside, because they're just going to be going with the big heap and land up somewhere in a tip or on Fishy Mountain. They get all crushed.
And are you confident that if you take them down to the transfer station that they will be separated or kept separated and sold?
I'm fairly confident about that. Like, you know, they're not not totally 100% bad, but they cut their own, besides Fizzy, there is also, TPI cut their own plant as well, where they do recycle. So anything what is clean and recyclable and is dropped off at the recycle center here in Ostend, or they claim they'll take it to their own place. We will check that again.
So can you just explain the logic of this? They actually have a recycling plant that they could be using, and they've got 10 years of good education from the Waiheke Resource Trust in people separating their rubbish, but now they're saying just pile it all into the same thing and send it off to you know, the dump and Visi and et cetera, when they could be saying, let's just keep it all separated and send it off to our own plant where it can be properly reused.
A good point. Like the plant in Auckland from TPI has only limited capacity. For us, the main reason is why, if something is working on Waiheke, why change it? It's not broken. Let's not fix it. So, okay, they have limited capacity in Auckland. They'll take it up there. Anything left will still go to either not Martin Fizzy, but to Waikato, the big hole in Waikato, or to China. So, also the company is basically built on a business, as a business, as a corporate business with shareholders who want to see a good return on their money. So they basically hope that as much as possible people put the rubbish out on the street, including recyclables, make as much as possible money out of it, and in a way, you know, that's the idea from Wheelie Bins again, from give them bigger and bigger capacity to put your rubbish in, the more money they make. It's a totally different mind frame and setup they have to make money, instead of like what Cleanstream has or similar groups around the country who are gearing towards zero waste by 2015. They're not for profit organizations. Mm-hmm. They're locally run community based organizations like Cleanstream is.
And the irony of something like Cleanstream is, I suppose, if they do their job really well, then they almost do themselves out of a job.
That's basically the aim. Like I used to work for Greenpeace, and there is always the aim. You know, you do your job so well, so you work yourself out of a job, because we want to, you know, get our act together on this planet, and we have to.
Mm. Well, Reen, thank you very much. So what you're saying is that people should be logging complaints, genuine complaints, around being held up on their way to the ferry, around not being able to get mulch, around, I think there's someone mentioned something about their paint being just thrown in with other kind of rubbish at the tip, so things like that, maybe logging complaints.
Yeah, your paints and your chemicals in particular, bring them there, because you don't want them, you know, your old fire alarms, because they contain uranium. You don't want to land them up in a tip, you know. So bring them there.
And is there, where can people find out more? Is there a way of joining One Waiheke?
There is a way of, just Google One Waiheke or Waiheke Does It Better. Waiheke Does It Better is all one word, lower cases, and the same for One Waiheke. Just Google that, and you find a link to either of those, like we're both one and the same. There's also, of course, I'm sure you can wander in here most of the time at Waiheke Waste Resources Truck at the artwork place and get information there.
Lovely. So you've been listening to Reen Achtenberg.
Yes,
And he's the
Action Logistics. I call it ACT Logic.
ACT Logic, yes, good word. For the Waiheke Does It Better campaign. Yeah, thanks very much, Ray.
Okay, thank you, Sharon. And also just make sure you put your backs up high. Get a letter. So we just keep on plucking away at TPI. Thanks, everybody. Hey, have a good weekend.
Lovely. Okay, well, at the moment we've got Hema Jenkin, who came to the island as Hannabella Jenkin, and is still a Jenkin, even though she got married.
Yes, even though I got married in December to a Tyler.
Right. And, okay, well, Hema's here to talk about her playback theatre course that she's doing soon. So, Hema, do you want to tell us about that?
Well, playback theatre is a series of improvisational techniques that's based around storytelling, and what better place to have it than the Story Centre. So I've been doing playback for quite a while. I found out about it in Brisbane after I was doing circus and clowning and improvisation there. And it's about ordinary people telling moments from their lives and ordinary people playing them back.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, does it have do serious themes come out, or does it tend to be quite playful?
Well, it's playful in the beginning, and it can be playful throughout as well. So it depends on the safety, really, of the people. It's not therapy, so it has its roots in community theatre. So whatever is in the room, in the group, basically will come out, and it's kind of my job as the conductor or the facilitator of the interviews between the audience members and the actors to bring out the heart of what they're talking about.
So can you give us an example of something
Just what Reen was talking about before, like if we were to do a playback show, say, tonight, I'm sure there would be themes of frustration and maybe apathy or powerlessness and anger or, you know, conflicts, tensions. There might be issues around autonomy and sense of place and sense of, you know, right to lead one's life. There might be those kinds of themes.
And would they be expressed specifically in relation to the waste issue, or would those be themes that would then be taken and expressed in a different way?
The waste issue might sort of be a metaphor for then people to go deeper into their lives of, you know, I would ask, are there other times in people's lives when they've felt a sense of frustration and anger or, yeah, so, you know, people would tell from that.
Oh, okay, and so then what would people tell? They would tell stories where they felt frustrated and angry.
Yeah. The playback course will teach people techniques and structures to hold stories within. So we'll learn the form of a pair, which is two actors, one playing one side, one playing the other. And we'll learn moments where they're kind of like machines or structures. A lot of the work is going to be games, so it'll be sort of, theatre games.
Right. So I know improvisation, there's a lot of needing to listen to the other person. So presumably this is
chorus work, yeah. That the games are really structured around tuning people into the chorus, the group, and themselves. So, you know, self and group. And we do a lot of sound. We'll work with props and musical instruments, bits of fabric, whatever people bring, really. I'm going to ask people to bring some props to tell with.
Right. I've done a little bit of improvisation work with you. And I find it quite interesting how there'll be a whole load of props and there'll be something that seems to call out to you and you have to use it.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of I would say that, I mean, playback has a crossover with psychodrama. So it was kind of started in New York by the Moreno Institute, which is, I think Zirka Moreno was kind of like a benefactor that helped the group of ordinary parents to explore playback. She kind of paid the rent of the space for a year. So,
and what is psychodrama exactly?
Well, good question. My sense is it's about, I don't know because I didn't do a lot of psychodrama training, but it is about kind of having other people role play aspects of yourself and others. So, yeah, that has a highly producer role, and you have to have a lot of emotional kind of integrity and containment and maturity to be able to place oneself in the shoes of another and then speak from that role.
So do you need to have quite a lot of emotional maturity to do playback?
I think that if you are interested in telling stories and having fun and also having the capacity to be sensitive to other people and yourself, then this would be great. Yeah.
Right. Well, lovely. So when is it on?
So it's a 6-week course, which is quite a short course for this work, but it's just a taster, really, to see if there are people interested. It starts at 7:30 till 9 on a Wednesday night, and the first one is the first week back after school holidays. So that's on Wednesday the 22nd. And the course is $60, so it's only $10 a night with, for 6 weeks.
Well, it sounds amazing.
Yes, I hope to see you there. She's laughing already.
Yes, no, I will. I think I've found since I've been on Waiheke, I've really taken to the idea of acting and performance.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to develop those skills. So I will be there.
Yeah, and I'm the thing that I love about it is it's about people and our stories and our community. So, you know, you don't really need any prior acting skills or musician skills or anything. You just have a sense of the need to tell and listen.
Mm. So can I just ask you, is there a performance night linked to this? How does that work?
Yeah, there will be a performance. Tanya's coming back, I think, in mid-August. So I was hoping to have a show where she can tell about her stories and others. So we haven't set the date yet, and it will kind of depend on the group, whether they're up for it. I don't want to push people into kind of needing to perform. You know, it's more about exploring and playing and having fun.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we'll see you there.
See ya.
So that's the first Wednesday after the school holidays, which is the
22nd. And you can actually book through the Story Centre.
So do you have the number for them?
I don't know. I think it's www.storycentre.
Oh, okay. So you can find it online. And thanks very much. You've been listening to Hema Jenkin talk about her playback course.
Cool.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Okay, hi. Well, we've got Steve in from the Butchers. And, yeah, so do you want to tell us a little bit about what you've got at the moment?
Well, we've got a variety of things to keep you warm this weekend. Some nice slow-cooking, stewy-type things. Some roasts. It's got to be a weekend for being inside out of the cold and wet, I think.
Yeah, well, have you got a good recipe that you could pass on? Something warming that you can have the oven on, heat the house, and have something delicious to eat at the end of it?
Well, we've got shin on the bone, which is real good. We're a bit short on oxtail, but shin on the bone is quite a good substitute.
What is shin on the bone?
It's beef shin.
Oh, okay.
With the bone in. Most people would know it as gravy beef.
Oh, right.
Which is the... when it's been boned out, we just cut through it and you get a piece of the bone with the marrow in, which helps make a really good sauce, nice and nourishing.
Oh, sounds delicious. So how do you make that?
Season flour, your pieces of shin, brown them off, and then put them in a pot casserole with onions, carrots, celery.
You put everything in at the same time?
Yep. If you want to splash out, maybe some red wine or Guinness is good.
Wow.
A nice stout, something like that. Some thyme.
How much wine or stout do you put in? Do you put it in instead of water?
Yes. So I usually do 50-50. 50% for the casserole and 50% for me.
Right.
So,
that sounds like fun for a wet Saturday afternoon.
Well, I mean, you're going to be indoors for a wee while, so maybe get two bottles of wine and drink one while you're waiting for it to cook.
Excellent.
But a little bit of garlic. Really depends on how sort of busy you want to be with it. I like simple stuff, but you can start getting clever with bits of star anise and things like that. Chili, even, if you wanted to get a bit of heat into it. But probably a good three and a half hours.
Oh, wow.
In a moderate oven, about 160.
Okay, so it's not something that you're doing on the stovetop, it's something that you're doing in the oven.
Just do it in the oven and just pop it in there and forget about it for a couple of hours. And then when you're ready to serve, just adjust your sauce, thicken up the gravy if it needs. It should have reduced quite a bit. So depending on how thick you like it, you can perhaps make a roux and just add some of that cooking liquor.
Oh, a roux. Now that sounds interesting. How do you do that?
You just melt some butter and add some flour and cook it.
Okay.
It's
right.
It's yeah.
And then you do that to thicken. You do that to thicken up the sauce.
Yes. Okay. You just add some of that cooking liquor to it. And then just mix it in with a spoon.
Right. Lovely. So, have you got any interesting stuff coming in?
At the moment, we're pretty well stocked with things like game. We've got pheasant, guinea fowl.
Are they popular?
Quail. They are. They seem to be. If there's a recipe or something in a magazine or a newspaper or something on TV, we sell loads of them.
Oh, that's really interesting. So if there's something in Cuisine magazine or in the Food Town magazine, suddenly you have like millions of people running in and getting recipes for quail.
Yes, we've had beef spare ribs. There's been a recipe or two for those in a couple of magazines, and we've sold quite a lot of them. They're another good slow cooking sort of braising idea.
Mm. Do people eat much rabbit? Because it's always I know when I lived in Spain, people ate a lot of rabbit. You know, they ate it like chicken. Whereas here, you often find people who are quite sensitive to eating rabbit. And aren't really into it. Not that they've ever had it, but they kind of they associate rabbits with being fluffy.
Yeah, we do sell quite a bit of it, actually. It's not as popular as it would be, sort of, like you say, in Spain, Europe and things. But, I don't think people, like you said, they look at it as though it is a pet or something, which is, I look at it as food. They don't look like pets once they've been skinned.
No, nothing really looks like a pet once it's been skinned, does it?
It could be anything, really. And again, rabbits make a real good stew. I haven't had any herring for a while, but that's another good long, slow sort of casserole-y.
What's the difference between rabbit and hare? I mean, obviously, I know they look slightly different, but, you know, again, when they're skinned, they probably don't look that different. But is the flavour different? Is one more gamey?
Yes. Hare is a much bigger animal. The meat is a lot darker. They're actually quite a lot more, what would you say... Not gamey in the sense that we don't hang things like we used to, but it has got a stronger flavour than the rabbit. Rabbit is quite a light meat, almost sort of chickeny, but the hair looks a bit like venison, maybe.
Mm. Okay, well, lovely. Well, lastly, can I just ask you about this signposting stuff and the council? Are we resolved on putting signs outside? Is that...
Well, I just give up. They wanted $1,000 per sign, and we had to have dispensation and then pay the $1,000, and I just can't be bothered anymore. We haven't heard anything back since we put our sandwich board sign on the grass that by the seat. I think other people up and down in the village here have gone the same way as me. They've complied or removed the sign altogether.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there was something around a whole bunch of shopkeepers getting in together, wasn't there? And making a case together about having signs.
That was that happened with our big sign on the top of the veranda thing there, and we got that was a $250 fee because they did it en masse because there was quite a few signs up and down the street.
Right, so they don't object to signs per se, they just want money for them. Is that my understanding of this?
Yeah,
is that my cynical understanding of this whole process?
Well, it is basically that there's some ridiculous rules that they have to be a certain size and so many millimetres in from the curb edge and things like that.
Right, I can't believe people actually spend their time doing this stuff, but I haven't noticed any visible difference in signage. Apart from the fact that you're telling me that people have had to pay lots of money to have their signs up.
Well, I don't think anybody has paid any money.
Oh,
I haven't. I've just moved them. And it's still the same sign.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
It's got the same message on it. It's just in a different place.
Well, if that works, then that seems fine.
Okay.
Right. Well, that was Steve. Steve the Butcher. Do you have a last name, Steve?
Hill,
okay. Yeah. So you're not called The Butcher.
No.
Okay, great.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you by Island Design every Saturday morning from 10 to 12. The interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, and you can also download these interviews from our website, www.waihekiradio.org.nz.